We're looking at the precious word of God this morning, and we're turning to Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's something quite special about this psalm. It's quite unusual from many, many psalms. You get the, as you read it, you get the impression that the heart of David is filled with inspiration and happiness. What has happened? The great feasts of Israel commanded by the Lord to be celebrated by the people, and the people individually, as families and as tribes, had gathered together at the command of the Lord. They came and David saw them. He was aware of his background, the difficulties, the problems, the attacks under which he had been going through. And then he saw the people coming from the east and the west, the north and the south. He saw them all coming. He saw them all gathered together. He saw the congregation of the people. And he was made to explained his feelings. He said, "Behold, how good." And not only how good, but how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It was something unusual. They had unity at that particular time. They had left their problems at home, as it were. There was a coming together. And coming together at the command of the Lord into the presence of the Lord, it led to two things. It led to a sense of well-being. They knew that they were in the presence of the Lord. And that was good. The commands of the Lord are good. They lead to goodness. They lead to a sense of well-being. And not only that, they were pleasant. It was a pleasant time. When we come together in the house of the Lord, it's my first message this year, I pray that throughout the year, our meetings together will be good and they will be pleasant. Because the Lord is with us and we have come to worship Him. Now, what had happened and what's missing from Psalm 133 are any pleas. There's no pleading for anything. He's not confessing anything. There's no criticism. There's no heartbreak. There's no problem. The people have come at the command of the Lord into the presence of the Lord. They came as they were. Without bringing things with them. They came with open hearts and open minds. It's difficult sometimes to clear our hearts and minds of pressing needs, problems, circumstances. We all know we've experienced that this morning in a sense. But you know what I'm saying now. If we can come into the presence of the Lord at the command of the Lord and leave all those things behind, we find that our times together will be good, positive and pleasant. No complaints, no criticism, just an openness and a love. That allows the Lord to move into our hearts and bless us. We're all so busy, aren't we? We are. When you retire, you know, you get even busier. That's how lots of life is about. But in our churches, and in this church in particular, may the times that we share be good. You know, when you leave a meeting and you've been blessed, you will immediately say, that was good. That's what we say, it's how we talk, it's how we think and react. That was good. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, which of course includes all the sisters. It includes the brethren as well, but it includes everyone, to dwell together in unity. They came with the family, they came with the children. They came with all the structure of life upon them. And it was good. And they came together because they came in unity. The great thing about unity, I mentioned this just a little yesterday, is that the God that we serve is a God of unity. There's no division. There's no separation. There's no shadow of turning. He can be completely trusted at every time in every situation. He changes not. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, united, indivisible, and yet separate, and yet indivisible. That's the miracle of the Christian faith. That's the wonder of it. The Father, then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. And we come together today, and we dwell in the unity as it is in the Godhead. That's what makes it special, and that's what makes it good, and that's what makes it pleasant. Not what we've done, but what He is. That's the difference. What God is, we are. He imparts His nature into our hearts. We have a new nature. The old man has gone, we're new creatures. Behold, you become a new creation in the Lord Jesus. That's what He does. It's a transforming salvation which brings goodness and pleasantness into our lives. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Wonderful. The high priest, Aaron, they made the ointment to anoint him at special times in the service, commanded by the Lord, and it was a special mix. It was beautiful. The other day I conducted a service, and as they were leaving the chapel, this lady walked past. She shook hands and then she walked past. And as she walked past, the whole foyer there was filled with the most beautiful perfume. Absolutely beautiful. I don't know what it was, but it was lovely. It was pleasant. Beautiful, pleasant, good. But when they mixed the ointment, the oil, it had all kinds of ingredients in it. Different spices. Don't have time to go into all in Exodus. And they mix the different spices. And then they anointed the head of the priest. They literally poured the ointment on the head of the priest. And it began to flow down over his face, onto his beard, down his clothes. I like this. We're used to all things being technical, smart, neat, tidy. Not so neat and tidy there, it was slopping about all over the place. And as the perfume, it came from his head, face, chest, legs, right down to his feet. And the whole place was filled with the perfume of the presence, as it were, of the Lord, because He commanded it. They did what He said, and it was, the whole place was filled with goodness. The reality, the symbol, the emblem, it was there. beautiful. The precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. But I'll tell you this much, that the salvation and the anointing that God gives us is from head to foot. It's a total salvation. We are filled with the perfume of God. We are pleasant to be with, and our words are good. Isn't that a lovely picture? All from this little verse here, ran down the beard. I pray that we shall know the anointing, brothers and sisters, this morning. Right, went down to the skirts of his garment, right down to his feet. Total involvement, total blessing. The Lord blesses in a wonderful, wonderful way. And so there are comparisons here. There's two beautiful comparisons. First of all, we have the precious ointment, and then we have something that it always... something miraculous to me. I've always loved it. You don't hear it, very rare you see it. You only see it when it's there. It's called dew. The dew of heaven. And I've said before concerning the work of the evangelical ministries that it's like dew upon the land. The gospel goes forth quietly, persistently, daily. Different areas. It's the same with this church. The dew of heaven has fallen from this church on this local community in the past year, over 100 and odd years. The constant falling of the dew. That still carries on. Good and pleasant. The ointment. People committed to the Lord, to serve him. To be at the gathering of the people, to be in the congregation, to be anointed, to receive his blessing. And then we read, and as the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, we talk about goodness, and wherever the Lord is, it is good. If you read just a few verses, I can't read them all, but certainly in Genesis 1, 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, 31, it says, and God saw the light, and that it was good. You go down the verse. And God called the dry land earth, and saw that it was good. Verse 18, he divided the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. How dare these scientists and so-called intellectuals find fault with creation? How dare they? God said it was good. It is good. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with the world. Climate change. Who says there's a climate change? There's a lot of people making a lot of money by conning millions of people into doing stupid things and calling it a green tax. God's creation is good. Absolutely wonderful. And the more we find out about God's creation, the more wonderful it is. Did you see those pictures of under the Antarctic? Absolutely full of glorious colour. Never been seen before. There's more colour under the ice cap than there is in the rose gardens. It's good. It's good in his heart. He created, he commanded, he made it happen. He made it good. And he filled it with colour and he filled it with perfume. Have you smelled the flowers? Have you smelled the roses? The chrysanthemums? Have you just smelled that they're there? Beautiful. You could be walking with Aaron with all the oil running down his beard. You wanted to walk in the garden and we're in the presence of the Almighty. Wonderful, wonderful. He made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God, this is lovely, this is the Lord's emphasis. And the Lord said everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And then we move on, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was good, it was good, it wasn't bad, it was perfect. The moving, the wind, the sea, the dew, the rain, the heavens. praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for this is pleasant. We need to take that on board as an assembly. We come together to sing praises to his name, for this is both good and pleasant. Let's enjoy the pleasure of the Lord in our fellowships together. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to the soul. For those of you that are still studying and doing work, remember that. Don't say it's hard. Say, look, I'm doing all this work, and it's pleasant. There you are. Proverbs 2:10, I'll give you the verse. That might just encourage you. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And so we see all these things. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friends by hearty counsel. In other words, when you come together as friends in the assembly, when you share fellowship, it's like the ointment. It's going back to air. It's going back to the command of the Lord. It's going back to obedience. It's going back to just enjoying his presence and fulfilling his wish on our behalf. Not only have we the ointment, we say as the dew of Hermon. Hermon's a very, very special mountain. It's the main mountain in Israel. In whatever part of the land the Israelites turned his, when he turned his eye northward, Hermon was there on the horizon. Terminating the view, could see no further. From the plain along the coast, from the Jordan Valley, from the heights of Moab and Gilead, from the plateau of Bashan, the blue, pale, snow-capped cone forms the one feature of the northern horizon, Mount Hermon. The Lord liked the mountain. He liked Hermon. For on one occasion, the lonely Nazarene, he took some disciples, not a lot, but he took some, and they climbed the mountain. They climbed the highest mountain apart, it says in the word, and remained on its summit all night, weary after the long and toilsome ascent. It was hard work, but it was worth it. Because suddenly, the lonely Nazarene, with the white seamless dress, suddenly began to sparkle and glow. He was full of majesty and glory. He was transfigured before them. And the glory he had became before he became man, suddenly the veil of humanity was just pushed aside, and that glory shone forth. He was transfigured. It happened on Hermon, the highest peak. That's where it happened. Beautiful. But the next day, you know what he did? He came from the top of Hermon and the Transfiguration down into Caesarea Philippi to preach the gospel of redemption. For there the Lord commands the blessing. The Bible has nearly 500 verses scattered throughout its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, all speaking of the command of the Lord. He commands, he commands, he commands. In other words, you can say he directs, he shows. He's been helpful, he's been kind. You shall walk in the ways of the Lord your God, which God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall preach. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? That's a wonderful promise. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you. Goodness, pleasantness, perfume, life at its best, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Mount Hermon. And the Jews fell around Hermon and the fields. And there's something quite wonderful in that. We find the creative effects from the fallen dew. It brought life. It fertilized the land. It was new life. It was springing up all the time. It was a silent dew. It came from heaven. And David is lightening the unity of the people and the love of the people for each other and the Lord. He says it's like the ointment which flows down. It's like the dew which fertilizes Hermon and the hills of Zion. What a lovely picture. Easy to understand. Nothing complicated about that. And so he rejoiced, the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Beautiful, beautiful phrase. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. That's where the Lord commands the blessing. Around the mountains of Zion. Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. And it was there that the Lord commanded the blessing. Because that area, it is the place of redemption, it is the place of revelation, and it is the place of the returning king. It started there, and it will finish there. The hills of Zion, the mountains of Zion. May we, in the meantime, he commanded the blessing, and he commanded the blessing of eternal life. That's what it's about. All this is about eternal life through the Saviour, by the love of the Father and the outworking of the Holy Spirit. The unity of the Godhead leads us to eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast possessed a good profession before many witnesses. Laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's our blessing. That's what he gave. That's what he made happen on the hills of Zion. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a promise. What a depth of promise. It stretches into the eternity's past. It was there, it was set in form. It was already planned, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's the measure of our eternal life. Bless his name. That we've been justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, it came from the Father, by the Son, given by the Holy Spirit. Unity. We see the gift of eternal life primarily through the Lord Jesus. We understand the cross. We understand the miracles. We understand the birth. So that's lovely. He commanded the blessing of eternal life. So my dear friends, we've come together today. And may I say it's been good. And it's been pleasant to dwell together in unity. Keep the oil running down your beards. And for the ladies, may the oil run down to the skirt, your skirts. Goodness, pleasantness, may the dew continue to fall. May the dew of heaven be shed abroad in this area and in our church, and may people be saved in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name and for his glory.